Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. Last week, we couldn't do our podcast due to load shedding. And now we're all practicing social distancing and watching the markets plummet. Mapalo, how are you feeling right now?
You know what, Maya? I'm not going to lie. I'm usually a very optimistic person, but I'm just feeling a tiny bit overwhelmed at the moment, to say the least.
And you have a son at home, a four-year-old son at home, because he can't go to school.
Yes, he can't go to school. So now I have to play teacher as well, just amongst many other things that are going on. And to top it off, Eskom is still giving us issues and the network issues. So it's all good. It's all good.
I just feel like, you know, I just feel so overwhelmed, even the wrong word. I just feel shattered. I just feel like I'm standing there in shock and just thinking, I just don't know what to focus on. I found it incredibly hard to write my articles this week because my head is in 50 different places at once. And I find that people are quite tense. So I did actually have a call with SARS this week because I was trying to solve something and the guy got really grumpy with me on the phone and we landed up having quite an argument and I realized that he was stressed and I'm stressed and maybe we all need to dial it back. So I think if you're listening to this and you're just feeling the same way as we are, I can only suggest really big, deep breaths.
Really deep breaths. But I think also, Maya, just before we get into the money side of things, because it definitely does affect, I think just spare some humanity, you know, don't go hoarding stuff. Just practice more kindness towards everyone else and towards yourself when we're going through all of this crisis.
And please remember, online shopping exists. Yeah. You don't if you need to go into quarantine or something, you can just, you know, go online shopping to Pick and Pay and Checkers to deliver. You don't have to take everything.
And Dis-Chem as well, Maya. They do offer. You can shop online.
Oh, I have to say, before we get into the money, well, this is money stuff. I think I put it on Twitter today. Yes. So I wanted to get some hand sanitizer. It was advertised on Take a Lot. I thought it was for two boxes of hand sanitizer, 300 rand. I thought, okay, you know, hand it out to friends, whatever. They arrived, I kid you not, two pocket-sized hand sanitizers.
Wait. Hold on. 300 rand.
300 rand.
Four.
And they delivered two hand-sized bottles.
Is that even legal?
I mean, pocket-sized.
Is that even legal right now?
Apparently it's not. Apparently we can lodge a complaint. So first of all, I'm telling Take a Lot to take it back. So remember, it's not Take a Lot. Take a Lot is a platform for people. And I did put on Twitter that Take a Lot these guys down. Anyone behaving like this should be removed. They have on Amazon removed anyone behaving like this. So if you are out there thinking you're going to make me 300 bucks off hand sanitizer, selling it to me, you're in trouble.
What do they think? They think this is a tender.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Maya, let's get into it.
Yeah, so I think in our last podcast was delayed because of load shedding. And we were going to talk about offshore investing because this is something we get a lot of questions from readers and listeners. They said, please, you want to invest offshore. How do we do it? But actually, in light of the events this week, I thought we're going to just focus more on your money amid the coronavirus. Yeah. What to do with your investments? What to do if you're close or in retirement? And very importantly, what are your options if you've had work stoppage? If your income's being impacted, you know, what is open to you? But Mapalo, let's maybe kick off because I know you spoke to some of the asset managers this week. What are they saying?
I think the consensus amongst asset managers is that right now is a bad time to take your money out. Because remember, as you said, as you mentioned, that the markets have plummeted. So when you take out any kind of money right now that is in the market, you will be getting way less than you put in. So you will be putting yourself at a big disadvantage if you withdraw those funds. And secondly, I think with this, for me, it really just does resonate. It's rent cost averaging, that if you can afford to continue investing, do it, you know. Keep that debit order going and don't panic and say, you know what, I don't want to buy anything at the moment, because you are getting more units for cheaper right now. So for me, I think those were the two underlines that don't take your money out and run, because you will really lose out on quite a lot. But also, if you are a monthly investor, actually, this is the best time to just continue doing what you're doing.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Rand cost averaging, because I always tell the story about my son. You know, I put 200 Rand away for him every month when he was two. And by the time he was 14, it was worth 100,000 Rand. And people always saying, gosh, what did you invest in? Blah, blah, blah. Actually, the key thing was that I kept investing through the financial crisis, because all of those debit orders, when the market literally dropped 50%, I was picking up at half price. So it's actually could, if you are quite a bit of distance from retirement, this is actually an incredible opportunity for you. And you know, one of the challenges you have if you have a lump sum now, even in this environment, is do you put it in now because the markets are still falling? But if you've got a debit order, it doesn't really matter. You're putting in every single month a little bit. And if it falls further, you get more. And if it recovers, what recovers? You don't have to have that kind of decision making, I think. And that's really key.
Yeah. And for me, Maya, just looking at it, when I look at my own situation at the moment, 31, still going to retire in many, 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 many years. One of the things that did come out when I was speaking to these asset managers, they were saying that, you know what, this is not the first time a crash has happened. It's not the first time. I mean, in 2008, we had that, and people who were in the market, then and didn't take out their money were still able to retire, right? So for me, especially for millennials, for young people working, for young professionals, keep on investing. Don't panic.
And I think that is that's the advice we've obviously been trying to get out there. But I've also had people coming and saying to me, but hold on, I'm about to retire. In fact, I retire in the next few months. Mm-hmm. And that is different.
That's a tricky one. That's a completely different situation.
So I actually did an article this week on that because, you know, I wanted to be able to answer these people. And what was very interesting, I spoke to a financial planner at Alexander Forbes, and they made a very interesting point. They said, if you have a company retirement fund and you've never made any decisions about it, you just kind of left it, which of course you should always look at your retirement funds, but most people don't. You are most likely in what they call the default option. And the default option of most company retirement funds is life stage modeling. So life stage modeling is where they start to disinvest you from the market, even up to 10 years before your retirement. They start to actually reduce your equity exposure because they're assuming that you're going to want to take cash and buy a guaranteed annuity. If you are someone who's opted out of the default, then that's very different. So if you are in the default, it's most likely that you've been fairly protected from this correction. If you are in a pension fund, you've got quite high equity exposure. You may have done that because your plan was to move into a living annuity. So remember, a living annuity is a market-related investment. Then you're actually fine because maybe your the value of your funds halved, but you'll be buying into your living annuity at half the value. So it's not quite as detrimental. The problem is, as Rita Kuhl from Alexander Forbes told me, she said the problem is most people take their one third. Remember, you're allowed to take a third out, and their plan is often to settle debt with that or to take it as cash. That one third is a problem because
why is it a problem, Maya? Because I would think that if I have this money in cash, I've been protected from the plummeting markets at the moment.
Well, if it's in the that's what I'm saying. So if you're in the life stage model, have a look at it. Find out what it looks like. So speak to your HR department. They say, well, you are mostly in bonds and cash, then that's not so much of a problem. If, however, you had elected a higher equity holding because you were going to shift into a living annuity, that's when that one third can become a challenge. So in that case, she gave some very good advice, and that was that you do not have to, and I didn't realize this, you do not have to retire from a retirement fund. You can, even if your company makes you retire from the company, you are allowed to remain in the retirement fund. So you could delay that decision to retire and take those funds later on, even at the end of the year or whenever. So I think that is something to consider.
Well, and how long can you delay that decision?
Well, I think fairly indefinitely I can't remember the actual age. I mean, I think it's an age up to 75 or something, but it was actually some new legislation. I think it was brought in about 2 years ago that said that that they need to be able to provide for the member if they wish to remain in the fund. And a lot of people use that for retirement planning because they may be forced to retire at the age of 60, say, but they don't need to retire because they've got other work. They want to, they go into consulting and they don't need that income. And remember, if you don't need the income, A, you want to leave it to grow more, and B, you don't want to have a tax problem. So you can actually defer retirement. And that is something, again, though, Mapula, this comes down to advice. Go and speak to a financial planner and get some really good advice right now.
Yeah. But I'm also interested, Maya, for those who are in those living annuities that we have seen have not done anything in the past couple of years, but now it's even worse with the whole crisis. What must those people do? What should they do at the moment when their living annuity are just falling flat?
So, as I put on a tweet recently, this is the chickens coming home to roost, because sadly, and I must say, we warned people over and over again, do not take a living annuity unless you can afford to. So in other words, if you could really limit your withdrawals to like at least 4%, then you can afford a living annuity. But if you are drawing 5, 6, 7, 8, and many of them drawing 8%, it is a very dangerous product. And so if you had done it correctly and you had a living annuity that was correctly structured as well, that's very important that you had quite a large cash component. So I even look at my mom's portfolios. My mom has a portfolio. It's not in a living annuity, but it is a portfolio. And we make sure, first of all, it's got a lot of cash generating, dividend generating income, but we make sure that she's got about 8 months of cash at all times in case there's a market reaction. We don't want to be in any situation where we're having to pull down on capital. So that is, you know, if you had a properly managed living annuity, it was probably properly diversified, they were prepared for some kind of major crash. And I do think that after 2008, a lot of good financial planners made those provisions. But if not, if you just stuck it in and self-managed, do you remember that chap that contacted us and we did a whole podcast about him wanting to manage his own money in an Alan Gray balanced fund? Now, he would be suffering right now if he'd done that because he didn't have that cash portion. So it is important, I think, and there's not much you can do about the drawdown because you've selected it for this year. You can decide what to do, until the anniversary. So I think, as one of the financial advisors I spoke to said, what we're telling our clients now is this is a time for needs and not wants, which I think is probably quite true.
Sure. Yeah, it's really scary, especially for those who are in retirement and do have those living annuities, because from my experience, that's what they've been sold, a lot of them, and they go for it because of that option thing. Oh, you know what? You can leave your money for your kids. It's really just tough times, Maya. It really is.
But I want to get back to that leaving money for kids, because I also put in this article, guaranteed annuity. So guaranteed annuity is you've got income for life. Okay, it doesn't matter what happens to the market.
Yes.
Okay, you get income for life. And if you look at the guaranteed annuities are paying out really good interest rates at the moment. Actually, you're getting about 7% if you look at it. So on your capital, you're getting about 7%. That's a joint annuity with an inflation increase. So that's pretty good, guaranteed for life. Mm. And if you look at the payback, you pretty much get back the capital you put in within 12 years.
Yeah.
So everybody's worried. Yeah, within 12 years. Yeah, and basically what happens after 12 years is that you're living on the mortality pool. So what that means is after 12 years, if you live longer than 12 years, you're going to benefit from those people who died. I know it's a bit morbid, but you know, so think about these things. Don't just say, oh, I want to leave money to my kids, because you know what? You probably don't have enough money to leave your kids. And then what happens? You take the living annuity. This happens. You run out of money and you're now living off your kids.
Yeah.
This is not sensible. Take that one. If you're so desperate to provide for your children, take that one third, invest it, keep it separate. Don't give it to them immediately because you may need it. Buy the guaranteed annuity. And then if you never need it, you've left them something.
Yeah.
But honestly, people, do not make retirement planning about leaving your kids money. Make it about making sure you have a dignified retirement and especially a dignified old age.
Absolutely. Okay, Maya. So now let's talk about, there've been so much talk, especially on Twitter, on social media, about people saying, okay, I have a bit of cash. Is this a good time to get into the market? So let's say you have a bit of cash now. Where do you stash it for the short term or long term? I mean, these are the questions that are going on social media. I'm like, people are asking the wrong questions.
Well, I don't know, because I'm sitting in exactly that situation. I had a lump sum that I've saved up that I was going to invest offshore, actually. Yeah, and I've been like, okay, now what do I do? The Rand's crashed as well, and debating this and speaking to my very expert investment friends. But I also had this situation with my mother, because Murphy's Law, I was so lucky. I actually restructured her portfolio. So I gave instructions to the portfolio manager to restructure her portfolio quite significantly. And in the middle of this, so he'd sold everything, a whole lot. He had basically sold out the market before the crash. So she's sitting in a huge lump sum of cash. Nice. Very nice. My mother loves me right now. And he said to me, what do we do now? And I'm doing phased-in approach. I think to dump cash in right now, we don't know what's coming. So I think if you're in a situation, my recommendation is rather phase in over the next 6 months.
Yes.
Rather than just go in with a lump sum.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. That's all I can say. It's not advice, people. It's what I'm doing for my mom and myself.
And for the short term, if you just want to have some money in the next couple of months, what should you be looking at?
Certainly your 32-day notices. And you know what I actually put on Twitter again today? I've been very busy on social media.
Clearly.
Your fixed deposits, because we're definitely going to see a rate cut. And the fixed deposit rates are still where they were last month. They haven't come down yet. I quickly had a check. So if you were planning on putting money away for 12 months, do it quickly before the rate cut.
Previous interest rate. Okay.
Exactly. 32-day notice is still a pretty decent interest rate. I would put in a 32-day notice, and that's pretty much all you can do at this stage. Don't leave it in your transactional account.
We'll end up spending it for sure. Okay, Maya. So now let's talk about something that is really, really going to affect a lot of people because of the whole coronavirus. What about those people who are either having to work shorter hours, because they're either in the tourism industry or their paycheck is going to get cut? How do you deal with your everyday personal finances when your income is being cut back?
Well, you and I are going to say straight away, look at your budget and see what you can cut back on, and how, except everyone's stockpiling. So I don't know how you, anyway. So I think first of all, be real about it. Get real very quickly. Secondly, UIF has confirmed that you can claim if your companies had to close down temporarily. So they're not closed down, they're shutting temporarily, or they're cutting your hours, then you can apply. It's a short-term UIF benefit. You can apply. I am actually in the middle of emails back and forth to UIF, but your company needs to inform the UIF that it's doing it. Very important. Your company needs to inform the UIF. They will then issue you with a form, and that form, so the company needs to issue with a form. You can then go onto online and actually apply for that short-term benefit. You know, use it. Go and do all of these things. Straight away claim for that, because, I don't know, it can take a while to sort out. Or just walk into your local labor department and office and get it sorted out. But that doesn't really help people who are self-employed. And I've had so many, and my heart's breaking. I mean, we left our corporate jobs and we started a takeaway business. So we did this. So we started a restaurant. Tourism, people on tourism are mailing me. What can we do about our debt? So I contacted all the banks, and obviously they've all said, listen, please, we are considering all of this. We are looking at, we understand the situation. Obviously not giving a blanket agreement because people take advantage of it, but they said that they all do already have a lot of systems in place to assist people in terms of deferred payments. But the most important message I got from all of them was, go to your bank before you default. Don't stick your head in the sand and hope something will happen. And that's all I can say is, be proactive. This is happening. It is happening. We don't know how long it's happening for. We do not know, Mapalo, the ramifications of what's just happened in terms of this economy getting back on its feet. So if you are directly hit, sit down now, breathe deeply, and actually just start working, working out a plan very quickly.
Yeah. I think that's very important. And that's the message we've always said, even outside of this coronavirus mess. We've always said that if you hit a financial block, or if your finances go haywire, don't sit there and hope for the best. Actually go talk to all your creditors and say, this is my situation right now. How can we resolve it so that, you know, it does give me a bit of room? And what about credit life insurance?
Well, it won't kick in. It won't kick in unless you've been retrenched. But again, right now, I mean, Nedbank said to me they are in talks with all the regulators. So it could be. So, for, you know, UIF has already agreed to waiver payments from employers. So those companies who can't, who've had to close or temporarily don't have to make UIF payments. So it, I'm not saying this is happening, people. I'm just saying this could be a conversation that's happening is around credit life. Could credit life be pulled in? So these are exceptional circumstances and exceptional action needs to be taken. So I really implore the insurance companies to look at that. If people have been responsible, they have taken credit life, they have paid you, let's be fair, a huge amount of money in premiums over the years. How about, you know, allowing credit life to kick in? Yeah. In fact, I think that's my next tweet.
Okay, I just need to get my network sorted, then I can get tweeting, okay? All right, Maya, no, thank you. That I think, yeah, I think that kind of puts things into perspective. Don't be too overly scared. Take action, be proactive.
And above all, keep washing your hands.
Yes, please.
I must just mention before we end off.
Don't hoard.
I don't know, but just to end off, Mapla and I are always socially, what's it, separated?
Yeah, or, no, so, always. So
we're not having, we haven't broken any COVID-19 protocols in.
No, I'm in my car right now in my home and you're in your studio at home. So
yeah,
isolation we're all safe all the time.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.